Pastor Doug here from Crossroads. It's great to be with you. I hope that today's message will draw you closer to Jesus.
Well, good morning, Crossroads. Glad you're here. We are in week four of our series on Surprise the World. And this series is all about just living an intentional, missional life. It's about not making things overly complicated, just living the way that Jesus lived, loving people the way that Jesus loved. And a reminder, what we're talking about, what we're going through, we don't want you doing these things just right in these couple weeks of this series. It's habits. We want you to form things we want you to do to just make as habits for the rest of your life. And the great news is, as you go through these five habits, many of you are already doing them. It's just being a little bit more intentional about that. A couple of the goals of this series, just so you know where we've been going, really want to help you understand how to love your neighbor the way that Jesus did. We're following in his pattern, the pattern of the disciples of the early church. We want to help you avoid making the good news complicated when it should simply come from your heart. It's a natural piece. It's not a forced conversation piece. And we want to spare you from those relationally awkward conversations. Has anybody else been there, done that, right? You know, you just messed this one up. Because the gospel was meant to be shared in routine exchanges with your family, your friends, your peers, your classmates, your coworkers, your neighbors. It's not supposed to be awkward. It just is going to come naturally from our hearts. And then maybe the most important, maybe this is where we mess this up more than anything else. I want to make sure that you understand what God's responsibility is and what your responsibility is. I don't want you to try to be God or for you to expect God to do something that he's asked you to do. So it's a straightforward series on living a missional life, following in the ways of Jesus, the disciples, and the early church, just habits that we can incorporate in the way that we live day in, day out. And there's a little acronym, a word that we've used for these five habits, and that is BELLS. You've probably, hopefully, getting this down, especially if you're in a small group. And the B. Well, what did the B stand for? Bless. Yeah, the B stands for bless. Every week, look for three people to bless. Make sure one of them is somebody that doesn't go to church, but just look for people to bless in your life. And there were three different ways that the author Frost talks about blessing other people. One of those were acts of kindness or acts of service, which so many of you, man, you just are always serving other people. Just a few weeks ago, I got to see our moving team. Crossroads has this moving team. I got to see them in action as they were blessing a family, helping them to pack up their moving trailer to move out of state. These people that give up this perfectly good Saturday morning to endure pain and muscle aches to bless someone in that direction. And the wife of this couple, she tried to form into words what this meant to her, and she started to tear up. She's like, the way that you're blessing me, I can't even put it into words. It meant that much to her. And remember, it's not complicated. It's simple. That same day after leaving the moving team, it's right in the area of where our little lives. Denise and I are big brother, big sister type thing. And I just like texted, hey, I don't got a lot of strength left. I don't got a lot of time, but can I just stop by and visit for a little while? So for 20 minutes in the backyard, we were just pitching ball. It's just a way to bless someone. It's simple. It's not awkward. It's natural. It just takes a little bit of intentionality on our part. So that's acts of service. The other way that you can bless somebody is through gifts, right? Doesn't have to be complicated. Just a way to bless somebody is to give them a gift. So I need to know somebody that enjoys going to the movies. Anybody here go to the movies at all? Yeah, who goes to Eric and Emily? Okay, I saw those hands, all right? So I have for you two movie passes, all right? Just a simple gift to bless you. Now, those of you that know me a little bit, can you fill in the sentence? These movie passes cost me nothing except my blood, right? Because I give blood on a regular basis. And just to be clear, Jesus' blood bought forgiveness of sins, all right? Life and is foolish for the here and now and for all of eternity. My blood bought a movie ticket that's not even good for IMAX, okay? But just Jesus is far superior, his blood. But you can just bless somebody. It's a simple thing. And the other way, the third way that Frost talks about blessing someone is what? Words of encouragement or affirmation. Anybody here have a, I don't need the details. Anybody just here have a rough week? Anybody have a rough week? Nobody's willing to admit it. Jess, we all have rough weeks. Thanks for being somebody that's willing to be honest. You are so greatly loved by your Heavenly Father. He is never asking you to do more than what he is equipping you to do. You are his precious daughter, joint heir to the throne through Jesus Christ. He is pleased with you, and he loves the time he gets to spend with you. You are more than enough. You are loved, you're forgiven, you're blessed. Just words of encouragement. Your hair looks great today, right? That shirt looks really good on you. Just words of encouragement. That's bless. It's natural. It's just comes out of living an intentional lifestyle. And then there's the E, right? E stands for eat. Yeah, we all eat, but it's doing with intentionality. And Pastor Ryan said, you know, you can sort of pick your level, but the whole idea is to be eating with other people, and at least one of them being once again, someone who doesn't attend church. And we all get this. If you've ever asked to meet with me, you know what I think about eating, because my first response is usually this: do you want to meet at a coffee shop or in my office? Because, you know, there are some conversations that need to happen in office, but otherwise, there's just something that is relationally rich about meeting over breakfast or lunch or a cup of coffee, and just a dialogue that happens, an intimacy that happens around the table that doesn't happen other places. And, you know, often those are just great experiences. Sometimes they don't go exactly as you had planned or as you had hoped. The other week, just as this series was starting, Denise and I had a couple over. And some of you know that our oven is currently broken. And then on top of that, it was just pouring down rain. So the grill was out. So my cooking mix was really getting shortchanged to begin with. It was a busy week, not a lot of time for shopping. So I'm just trying to pull a meal together. And I'm making rice in my rice cooker, which I've done so many times, but it just looks like mush. I mean, it looks awful. It tastes good, but it looks awful. And then I'm making steaks, and I want to sear my steaks. And, well, so I have a cast iron, and I'm heating up the cast iron. And I go to grab my avocado oil, you know, with a high smoke point, no avocado oil. And I'm like, oh, well. So they're there. We're all getting ready to sit to the table. Everybody's standing watching. I put the olive oil in. And some of you already know what happens. Whoosh, flames, flames just coming up out of the cast iron skillet. And I'm like, so I get a lid, I put it on, you know, it's embarrassing, whatever else. I'm like, okay, well, obviously olive oil doesn't have the same smoke point as avocado oil. So I'm like, well, butter has to work, right? Oh no, butter's even worse. So I put the butter in there. And now for the second time, within 5 minutes, I have a pan that is on fire, flames that are coming up, smoke that is going everywhere. And you probably wouldn't be surprised to know that after you have caught a pan on fire twice within 5 minutes, what's the next thing to happen in your house? Smoke detectors are going off. We're opening up all the windows. It is cold outside. The house chills down quickly. Till we finally sit down to eat, everything is cold or lukewarm at best. It was not my finest time, right? And I tell you all of that, not so you hope, please, dear Lord, don't let Doug ever ask me to come over to his house for dinner. That's not the reason, right? But you see, things don't always go as planned. I have a sort of philosophy that Little Caesar's only 4 minutes from my house. I should have executed my backup plan, the thing I always say. We don't have to overcomplicate it. Just enjoy time together with other people around a good meal. And sometimes it'll go beautifully and smoothly, and other times, not so much. But that's all right. We just live intentionally. We create that habit. And then today we go to the L. And the L is all about listen. What does it look like? Frost says, you know, this is his goal. If you're in the small group and you're watching his video, the goal is simply to carve out at least one time per week where you get to be quiet and you're just listening to the Holy Spirit. Now, once again, some of you, you're already doing this, man. You're doing this daily. But if you're not, the goal was to start somewhere, at least once a week, taking that time to just listen, to develop that spiritual rhythm, the habit of listening to the Holy Spirit. And throughout the Gospels, it always amazes me that Jesus, the Son of God, is taking time again and again to get away, to get quiet, to pray, to listen, to have that time of prayer, which is a two-way conversation, not just doing all the talking, but listening as well. A couple places we see it. It's all throughout the Gospels. But in Mark chapter 6, and the context here, it's very emotional because Jesus and the disciples just found out that John the Baptist had been executed, beheaded. And the apostles returned to Jesus from their ministry tour and told him all they had done and taught. And Jesus says, let's go off by ourselves to a quiet place and rest a while. He said this because there were so many people coming and going that Jesus and his apostles didn't even have time to eat. Jesus knew that just getting quiet, just that time to rest, restore, that time to listen, that time to pray and be in two-way communication with the Heavenly Father was so important. But in all of our lives, things don't always go as planned, right? You might have really good plans, but they don't always work out. They don't always go as Jesus planned either, because this was the goal. But then all of the crowd finds out where they're at, and the crowd goes to where they are, and it leads to this, what we would call the feeding of the 5,000, that miraculous thing, so that they didn't get away. They didn't get a quiet place. They didn't get to be secluded. They didn't get to listen. There's high ministry and life demands. But even though things didn't go as planned, Jesus didn't let that stop the priority of getting quiet, getting secluded, getting away. After the feeding of the 5,000, same chapter, Jesus says this. After he leaves his disciples, he just needs that space. After leaving them, he went up to a mountainside to pray. Life didn't go as planned, got distracted, but didn't lose the priority. He understood, Jesus knew, modeled, and taught that spiritual discipline, that priority, that essentialness of having a space to just be quiet before our Heavenly Father. Space to just be. Space to talk, but also a place to hear, a place to listen. And again, Jesus talks about, he models, he teaches the importance of finding the quiet space, slowing down, tuning out the world and tuning in to God. William Barclay, he says this, he says, it may well be that the whole trouble in our lives is that we give God no opportunity to speak to us because we do not know how to be still and to listen. We give God no time to recharge us with spiritual energy and strength because there is no time when we wait upon him. Good questions for reflection. How hard is it for me? How hard is it for you to slow down? This can be pretty hard. And even when we do slow down, how hard is it for you to just quiet out the noise? No phone, no radio, no interruptions, no TV, just to be able to quiet our thought space before our Heavenly Father and to listen to him. It's not easy. It's really not even natural. And that's why he called it a spiritual discipline, something that we continue to cultivate, to grow, to develop. Let me give you another place in Scripture. Luke 5:16, this is after Jesus has healed a man with leprosy, and he says, hey, don't tell anybody, keep it a secret. But it doesn't stay a secret because good things don't often stay secrets, right? But despite Jesus' instructions to keep it quiet, The report of his power spread even faster, and vast crowds came to hear Jesus preach and to be healed of their diseases. But Jesus often withdrew to the wilderness for prayer. People always wanted more from Jesus, more time from Jesus, more teaching from Jesus, more miracles from Jesus. There was always the demand of more. But often, because it was a priority, because it was a necessity, Jesus got off and found places for prayer. To be with his Heavenly Father, two-way communication, to speak and to listen. I think a question worth pondering is this: if Jesus, who is both fully God and fully man, needed quiet space, needed to get secluded, needed those times to just tune out the world and tune in to the Heavenly Father, if God incarnate needed that, how much more important is it for us to be able to have that spiritual discipline, to have that space, that time to be quiet and to just listen? Found this quote from a cardinal. It might be the first time I've ever got to quote a cardinal, but I love the way it was worded. Each of us needs an opportunity to be alone and silent, or even indeed to find space in the day and the week just to reflect and to listen to the voice of God that speaks deep within us. In fact, our search for God is only our response to his search for us. He knocks at our door, but many people, their lives are too preoccupied for them to be able to hear. That often hits home, right? Because it describes the pace of our lives and how hard it is for us to get quiet. But listening requires making space. It requires that intentionality of carving time to just be in prayer and to listen to our Heavenly Father. I don't think there's a better way to explain how important this is than looking at Jesus' life, how he models it over and over again, how he teaches it again and again. And I love the way that it's worded here. Now, this is Jesus speaking, and this is a paraphrase. This is the message, but I just love the way this is worded. Jesus says, here's what I want you to do. Find a quiet, secluded place so you won't be tempted to role play before God. Just be there as simply and honestly as you can manage. In time, the focus will shift from you to God, and you will be able to sense his grace. That's what we're talking about. That's the habit that we're talking about cultivating, making a regular part of our life, as Frost says, at least one time a week. In Jesus' words, that's what we're talking about. Quieting the noise, being there as simply and honestly as we can manage, taking the focus off of us, tuning in to the voice of the Heavenly Father. And we all understand that there are consequences when we ignore this, when we don't do this. There are very real consequences in our everyday life. When I neglect this, when I get so busy, so noisy, that this is no longer happening, there are very real consequences when we miss it. We end up saying things like, I never really hear from God. I can't see what God is up to in my life or the world around me. I feel disconnected from my Heavenly Father. There's very little in my life that feels purposeful or on mission with and for Jesus. And in just a moment, I want to give you that space, that time to just listen, to just be quiet. But what kind of things might the Holy Spirit want to speak to you when you're quiet? What are some of the kind of things that you hear whenever you just get secluded? You tune out the noise, and it's not just you doing all the talking, but just listening. What are some of the things that come your way? One of the things the Holy Spirit loves to whisper to us and speak to us again and again is words of encouragement. You are God's beloved child. You are wonderfully made in the image of God. And when people see you, they get a glimpse of the Heavenly Father in your life and how you live it out. You're uniquely gifted to do what God has designed only you to do, to reach the people only God has called you to reach. You have a faithful God who is on your side. He has given you a church family, brothers and sisters to support, to encourage, to care, and to love on you. You're not doing life on your own. God loves you and has a purpose for you. He'll never give you more to do than he is willing to equip and strengthen you to do. You're valued. You're loved. You're forgiven. Your Heavenly Father loves the time that he gets to spend with you. So 2 minutes to listen. If you're like me, background music can help, especially when you're in a crowd. 2 minutes not to speak, but to listen. Holy Spirit, we come before you. We want to be in tune with you. We want to hear from you. We are listening. So how did that go for you? It'd be a great discussion for you to have on the car ride home or with a friend tomorrow. And the answers probably vary greatly. Some of you are like, oh, that was impossible. In that situation, I went to lunch, what I'm going to have, what I have to do, my task list. It's okay, be honest. For others of you, you're like, you actually heard something. But you understand the importance of carving out that time to get quiet, to just listen. In the book, if you're reading the book Surprise the World, Frost talks about three different things that you'll often hear in that quiet space, three different categories of the things that the Holy Spirit might like to say to you, and they go like this, encouragement. I sort of primed the pump for that one, so hopefully you got words of encouragement. But the Holy Spirit also in our quietness, he'll correct or rebuke us. And he also gives us prompts. But whatever the Holy Spirit has to say to us, it's done in love and it's done out of love, wanting what is best for us. And that whole idea of prompting, some people refer to that as the nudges of the Holy Spirit. Those are the pieces that really help us to live more of a missional life. It's in those moments, and you've probably all experienced this before, even when it's been noisy, crazy. All of a sudden, you just get this sense, man, I need to call that person. I need to write that card. I need to send that text. I need to check in and see how they're doing. I need to invite them over for a cup of tea or coffee or for a meal. It's those promptings that come, those nudges that come from the Holy Spirit, and they help us to continue to live a more missional, purposeful lifestyle in tune with God. So what I'm asking you to do this week and to make a habit going forward, just some time to listen to the Holy Spirit, to let God in, to set aside distractions, and then to actually follow the promptings that come your way. And growing and listening to the Holy Spirit and being in tune with God is so important to being missional. And that's exactly what Frost is covering, and that's what you'll talk about in your small group. But there's another area of listening I just at least want to touch on. Because to live a missional life is also to make sure you understand what it means to listen to those around you. It's a skill that we often have to develop that doesn't come natural to us. Throughout the Gospels, it's estimated that Jesus asks about 307 questions. And asking questions is a great way to engage in active listening. There's the four H's of active listening, just the kind of things you can ask somebody. Ask them about their past. You know, where did you grow up? Well, what was your dad like? What was your mom like? What was your favorite grandparent? Just things from their history. Where'd you go to college, or what did you do, you know, in your teen years? Anything like that. Then there's your heart. You can always engage with people, asking about their favorite whatever people or the sports you ask, those kind of things. Just something that they're passionate about. What are you passionate about? What do you love to do? What are your habits? When you have some free time, what do you do for that free time? If you could do anything for fun, what would you do for fun? What are some of those habits? Then also following up on people. When you know somebody's been having a crisis or a health concern or a relationship difficulty, just simply asking, how are you doing with that? The way I often phrase this is, what's the best way that I can be praying for you? How can I support, care, or show God's love to you? Because do you understand what it means whenever somebody listens to you? Do you understand what it feels like when someone listens to you? Maybe it's actually saying the opposite. Have you ever been in a relationship or a conversation where the other person does like 70%+ of the talking? They dominate the conversation. You know how you feel in those situations, right? I love this quote because I think it really hits home. Being heard is as close to being loved that for the average person, they are almost indistinguishable. In our world, in our culture, where everybody wants to speak, everybody wants to post what they think on social media, everybody wants to yell about what they think is right, being heard is as close to being loved that for the average person, they are almost indistinguishable. How many of you, and this is 30 plus years old, classic book, Stephen Covey, 7 Habits of Highly Effective People. I read it a few times. Anybody else read that book? Yeah, a lot of you. The habit I hope to never forget in that book: seek first to understand before seeking to be understood. Once again, how do you do that? You just keep asking questions. You can make summarizing statements, but you listen. And often once you've listened to someone and they know that you understand them and you care about them, then they want to listen to you in turn. So for your small group time, you're going to be talking about listening to the Holy Spirit, but on your connection card, it says it like this. And here's what I would love for our small groups to do. If you have bonus time after covering everything about listening to the Holy Spirit, would you talk about someone in your life that's a really good listener? And then what habits make them a good listener? The other question I'd love to hear from all of you is, what are some practices that help you listen to the promptings of the Holy Spirit? If you would just take a moment or two before you leave and you'd fill out your connection card, whether you're online or in person, I would just love to create a database of this. And I won't put your name with it or anything like that. It'd just be like, here's ways that people in our church family, things that help them listen to God. Here's ways that people in our church family, where they think about somebody that really is a great listener, here's some of the habits that define that individual. It's a great way for us to learn from one another. So your mission, should you choose to accept it, this week, carve out that space and time to get away, to be quiet, to quiet the noise and the distractions around you, and tune in to your Heavenly Father. Let's pray. Father, it's amazing that you continue to love to be in relationship with us and to speak to us. And man, we confess it so often when it comes to prayer. We just do all the talking. It's a one-sided conversation. May that begin to change in our lives. May we follow in the way of Jesus and that he modeled and taught what it looked like to get away, to get secluded, to quiet the noise, and to go into a time of prayer. It's a time of talking, but it's also just a time of listening. So may we develop that spiritual discipline, that rhythm of being in tune with the Holy Spirit so that we would sense those words of encouragement, the times where we needed corrected or rebuked, the course correction that needs to happen in our life. Those promptings or those nudges of the Spirit. And how we can live a very purposeful, missional life. As we follow those promptings and check in and care and love and do great things in your name. Help us not to overcomplicate this. To take what is simple and beautiful, the gospel of Jesus Christ. May it be real and lived out in the here and now and give us a hope for all better tomorrows and for all of eternity. Thank you for your love, your grace. We pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thanks again for listening. Any step you take towards Jesus is a step in the right direction. You can find out more about us at crbic.org. That's crbic.org.